Hey, everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep hope alive. Keep the faith. I've got a guest today that's going to give us all a little bit of hope. Before I get to her, let me again give a big, big thanks to one of the self-styled Hellcats. These are women who served in the military who are running for Congress in 2026. Rebecca Bennett, running for New Jersey's 7th Congressional District. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for spending time with us in this week's installment of Broad Appeal. You can find that segment every Wednesday at 4:30. Got to take care of a bit more breaking news before we bring on our very, very special next guest. First of all, apparently the October inflation and jobs number aren't just bad. They're horrifyingly bad. Apparently, inflation is now at 10%. We lost 100,000 jobs last month. That is in stark comparison to what had been consistent month-over-month job additions last year at this time and decreasing inflation. Also wanted to have you take a wee bit of a listen to what one of the congressional Republicans on the House side, who did not sign the discharge petition, had to say about good old Attorney General Bondi. She might have some answering of some questions to do related to these Epstein files. Take a listen to GOP Rep. Warren Davidson just within the last hour and a half or so.
Look, I think the Oversight Committee, I'm going to vote for it if it comes up. Because
you'll vote for the bill.
Yeah, because, look, I think the Oversight Committee has pushed out a lot of disclosures. The administration's done a lot. If you look in the UK, they've tried to do something towards Prince Andrew. But one of the things that went away during the shutdown is Pam Bondi was supposed to come to the House and answer these questions. And look, I'm not on the Judiciary Committee, but I did want Pam Bondi to come and do some explaining.
Do some explaining, I should say, sir. Watch this space. It continues to be an absolutely rollicking news day. And we didn't know that all of this would be happening today when we booked my next guest. Her name is Jessica Denson. She was a former Trump campaign employee. She eventually accused her boss of harassment and then found herself on the cold side of the MAGA movement. We're going to talk to her about her evolution and what it means to be on the inside of MAGA, and then very much on the outside of MAGA, what her journey has been and what she's learned from it. But the through line here, folks, is about accountability. And is it possible for people to register objections or raise questions about Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, its policy objectives and priorities, without being declared a traitor and facing God knows what kind of follow-up harassment and backlash? So please join me in providing a very warm welcome to Jessica Denson. She is also the host and executive producer of Lights On. You can find it at the links that we will be providing in our show notes from today. Jessica, welcome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Your story is a fascinating one. Let's start at the beginning. What got you into the Trump MAGA movement? What attracted you? And when did if it was a light switch that went on or a slow evolution that's led you to where you are today? Share your story with us.
Sure, Maggie. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
And I said to you, oh, we're going to go back today. Okay.
Origin story. Yes.
Yes. Because I mean, today I am leading protests, planning a massive event that I'm sure we're going to talk about, founded the Removal Coalition a few months ago, but way back in 2016, and really for the, I would say, 8 years preceding it, I was pulled deeper and deeper down the Fox News rabbit hole. Kind of, you know, with a lot of family influence that was very heavy into this. I am a real Christian. I am a lover of freedom and real patriotism. And I was mesmerized and hypnotized by their pretense of those things, which I now understand to be, frankly, the Antichrist. But it's a very hypnotic kind of reeling in that makes you feel like you're part of this kind of rebel crowd that other people just don't get. It feels loving. It feels like the other party, the Democrats, the opposition are evil, anti-American, anti-Christian people who want to burn this country down. And I had been someone who was always aware of politics. I mean, I grew up in the DC suburbs. I went to George Washington University, you know, graduated at the top of my class in interviewing politicians and all kinds of things as a journalism student. I was very close to it, but I had never any desire whatsoever to get into politics. I'm actually an actress. I was working in film and TV back in 2016. It's what I had done since I got out of college. And because of my, you know, being sucked into that Fox News vacuum, I felt like we were at an existential crisis then. If we had had Hillary Clinton elected, I felt like we were going to lose our democracy and lose it all. And that degree of up is down brainwashing ultimately convinced me that I needed to go and help Donald Trump's campaign. And as an outsider, I mean, I knew the guy had issues. But I did not scrutinize them. I mean, I go back and I see certain things like the Central Park Five, I did not even know the existence of. You know, I tell myself, if I had even known the existence of the Central Park Five and what he did to those men, I could have never supported him. But I was ignorant in a lot of ways. I did not do my research. I saw what I thought was an existential threat from the other side. And I thought, I got to help this guy get elected to save this country. So that was ultimately what brought me to work for the Trump campaign in 2016.
It's quite a story, and I think one that has some familiar themes and signposts, right? Mm-hmm. Fox News, like when you read about Roger Ailes's idea for it, and even the set decoration and the clear desks, and it looks like a casino, and there's, you know, you got the Chiron running, and it is literally meant to be hypnotic, right? Like, that is the visual design. They've studied this. So it's so interesting to hear someone as smart, you're a brilliant woman, right, with many, many skills, to see that. What started the awakening for you, and specifically, what was your experience working in the Trump campaign that eventually led you to free not only yourself, but 422 other campaign staffers from these oppressive, and I would argue, illegal non-disclosure agreements?
Yeah, well, what I experienced on that campaign was a shock to me, not a shock to outsiders that understand what a horror show this whole Trump world is. But it was a shock to me going in this with such, you know, rose-colored glasses, thinking that I was working with people who were true believers like I was, just to want to make the country a better place. And I ultimately found out that this was an environment where those who had the best intentions, those who had ethics, those who were above board would get sabotaged and destroyed. And I was hired by a man I haven't spoken of in years, named Camilo Sandoval, that has a whole nother history in Trump 1.0 that you can go look up, and hired into a very low level position where I was like his object of control. He had me right where he wanted me. And about 2 weeks in, I got promoted by, of all people, Steve Bannon, to be the Hispanic engagement director for the campaign. And I started getting a lot of access. I started getting, you know, very high up in the campaign very quickly. As anybody who has ever worked in probably a lot of workspaces knows, that can, the kind of attention that can draw, and jealousy and envy. And this individual, Sandoval, and some others conspired to bring me down. And wild, wild lies were told about me. I was accused of federal crimes. I was accused of leaking Trump's taxes. I was banned from having access to Trump by the Secret Service and put on their watch list for the rest of the campaign. I was banned from Trump Tower. All just like, you know, you describe my case, and many people do, as a harassment case. It wasn't a typical sexual harassment case. It was insidious, misogynist discrimination based on hatred of a woman's ascendancy in the workplace and severe defamation. So yeah,
it's basically gender. They use your gender as sort of the foil, but it is psychological warfare that it's designed to make you A, think you're crazy, but most importantly, give up and go the hell away. And while you're going away, shut the hell up.
Shut up. Yeah. So I had gone into this campaign as foolish as I was, thinking that I was going to make this a more welcoming place for people with diverse backgrounds, you know, change the perspective of how the media looked at the Trump campaign, because I have a Hispanic background. I knew a lot of people, you know, of Dominican and Puerto Rican background at the time that were Trump supporters. And I was trying to uplift them, you know, trying to make this a welcoming place, bring people out of the shadows, end up walking away from this campaign under a huge shadow, not knowing, like, my life in tatters, not knowing what to do with myself after this experience. Lived with it in the darkness for about a year, and very, very reluctantly, very much against what I wanted to do, realized 1 year later, as my legal rights were about to expire, that I had to sue this campaign. If I was ever going to stand up for justice, human rights, animal welfare, anything that I cared about in this world, I had to take a stand against this injustice that I had experienced on that campaign. And so I first, in 2017, with no lawyer, no money, no anything, sued them pro se. That prompted a $1.5 million arbitration demand from them based on an illegal NDA. And I literally spent the next 5 to 6 years of my life in court in a divinely beautiful journey that led me to invalidate not only my NDA, but every single NDA that was signed by a Trump campaign staffer in 2016. And I was one of the first people. I was speaking out in early 2018, very publicly. The media never mainstreamed my story, but I realized that this threat was very real very early on. And I was crying from the rooftops all those years ago that I was the canary in the coal mine of political persecution of his enemies, and for people to please wake up and take stock of the threat that he posed.
Yeah, it's what indeed a canary in the coal mine your story was. And I just want to remark on this. Folks, if you're just joining us, we have got with us a really special guest. Her name is Jessica Denson. She began work with the 2016 Trump campaign. She ended up being subjected to an incredible campaign of psychological warfare and harassment, eventually filed suit, and eventually won a judgment that released herself and 422 other Trump staffers from their restrictive and illegal NDAs. Two things about what you were saying, Jessica, that stand out to me. And one is, you came into your work for the campaign not just a true believer, but someone that thought they were joining other people of high integrity and courage to stand up for what I consider to be baseline American values, right? To do good things, to demonstrate what true patriotism is. And again, all of that in good faith. And one of the things that I have found in my own professional life, and certainly talking with people who have had experience in political campaigns and with elected officials, is that once the rot sets in, once competency is shooed away as the criteria for ascendancy and sycophancy, and frankly, a lack of integrity is substituted for that, in other words, a willingness to do anything to win, and sycophancy, personal loyalty, that just cascades out in a never-ending decimation of people like yourself that want the best and come there in good faith with a lot of integrity to try to get it done.
Please join us in Washington, D.C. on November 22nd and go to removetheregime.com. Oh, we're coming back.
You're good. Don't worry, Jessica. We'll get it all in. Don't go anywhere, folks.